Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
As we look at God's Word, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government is upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May God add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Being in the Christmas season, as we are, we see a lot of things taking place around us, don't we? There are a lot of parades. There are a lot of festivities. There are a lot of parties. There are a lot of things going on in our daily life. There are a lot of things taking place at work, at school. There are a lot of things taking place in churches and in the community as a whole. Yet, every child of God and many people who don't know God, many of the lost today, are thinking about Jesus. They know about Jesus. They've been taught about Jesus. They've been told about Jesus. And they realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. And they know that it isn't just some little cheap cliche that's tossed around at Christmas time. It is a very sincere, a very real, and a very true statement. Well, this time of year, as we have this morning, we sing the songs of Christmas. We retell the Christmas story. We read passages from our Bible. We read God's Word as it speaks of that glorious day when God became flesh and dwelt with man. He walked among us. He grew up. He lived with us. He experienced the very same things every day that you and I experience. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, knew your trials, your troubles, and your temptations. He experienced them. He walked in your shoes. Maybe not your personal pair, but he walked in your shoes. This passage is one of my favorites because it presents Jesus in a way that really no other Bible verse can do it. This verse discusses not just Jesus' birth, but it discusses his purpose. It discusses his death. It discusses his second coming. It covers the ministry, the life and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ, and it covers it in only 39 words. 39 simple words. And yet inside of that you have in front of you the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and his purpose. And when we think about it, as we see and go into it this morning, you're going to see the world itself as a whole could not hold the volumes of commentary it would take to discuss and describe what is wrapped up in this one little verse. Yes, it's that interesting. It's more than just a cute verse for a Christmas card. It is something that gives us some spiritual grip, some spiritual reality for Christmas. We can enjoy all of the music, all the festivities. No one loves the cartoons at Christmas more than I do. I love Charlie Brown Christmas. I love Frosty the Snowman. I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I still watch them. I'm not afraid to tell you. But when it comes to the reality of Christmas, I come back to God's Word. Something that I can sink my spiritual teeth into. And that's what we have this morning. So this morning I want to preach to you for just a little while on why he is called Wonderful. Notice with me first, we see his fame. Jesus is described as a child being born. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us. Unto you. Unto me. A child is born. Not just to a king. Not to a kingdom of people. Not to a particular race of people. You. Us. Those are personal pronouns. They indicate God's purpose and God's love and God's indicate God's fame given back to you and pointed towards you. Jesus was no ordinary baby. Yes, He came in flesh. Yes, He consumed and He was here in a body. But at the same time, during that whole period of His life, He was God. He was God. He walked among us. He left His throne in heaven. And He came to earth. He came to dwell and to walk and to be among His people that He loved dearly. And that includes you and I. He loved us enough to come walk among us. He is moving and walking among you and I this morning. As we're here in this service, as we have sang the hymns, as we have sang the Christmas carols, as we have lifted Him up, as we have saw Him move in the lives of the children today, Jesus is here today to do business with you. Personally. Us. Unto us. Jesus is here today. Unto us, Jesus was born to live and to walk. His announcement given in Luke 1, verses 26 through 33 was an angelic announcement. Today, when children are born, the announcement is placed in the newspaper. It is put in church bulletins. It is placed by on the mailboxes with the balloons. All kinds of things are done today when children are born, and they're all great. They're all wonderful. But when Jesus was born, the angels of heaven made an announcement that God had came to dwell among men. Then we see He has an accomplishment. Isaiah 7:14 and Luke 1:32 says that God is with us. He is not just sending someone to give a message. He is not just sharing a word with us. God came to be among us. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be among you. Just as He came physically, and just as He walked with men, just as He stayed with men and women, regardless of their condition, regardless of their situation, He had an accomplishment of being among men, and that accomplishment holds true today. If you are saved today, Jesus Christ is here present in your heart. If you are not saved today, or maybe you are separated from God in some way, shape, form, or fashion today, God's accomplishment through Jesus Christ at this point in time still remains. He is with us, and He is ready to come back to you. He is ready to reconcile. He is ready. God hasn't gone anywhere. His accompaniment in Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 20 tells us that heaven and earth both rejoiced at His coming. Just as today when someone is saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, heaven rejoices. The church rejoices. His fame as Lord and Savior, come to earth to dwell with men. That same fame is saving souls today. That same fame is still reaching into the hearts and the lives of men and women and boys and girls. It is still making a difference. It can make a difference in your life today as well. Whatever that need may be, The Lord is there to make a difference. His fame says His ability. His fame is a testimony of what He can do. His fame is a testimony of what He will do. He needs you to come to Him. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, He was born in a manger. And what happened? People came to Him. They came to Him to worship. They came to Him to adore Him. Today, Jesus sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for those whom He knows, those who are born again. He is there today, waiting on you to come to Him. Well, He not only came in fame, but He came in shame. Notice a son is given. This calls into mind His deity and even His death. Jesus was not just the Son of Man. Jesus was the Son of God. He came with an eternal purpose. He came with a purpose of dying on Calvary for the sin of the world. John 18, verse 37 says that He paid the price for the redemption of the sinner. There isn't a sin that He didn't redeem when He died on Calvary's tree. Not one. There isn't a sin that you can commit today that will be outside the reach of the blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't a sin that can be committed, regardless of how deep it is, regardless of how ugly it is, that Jesus will not redeem you of. If you bring it to Him, if you sincerely and genuinely want redemption, the blood of Christ is there for that. A son is given. A son is given to humanity for the redemption of sin. Given literally means delivered up. Jesus was delivered up to death. And those that received Jesus are delivered from death unto life. When I think of given, I think of the two thieves that were hanging on either side of Jesus. One was laughing and scoffing. One was there making all kinds of ugly gestures, making all kinds of condescending remarks. And the other, the one on the right, said to Him, "What are you doing?" And I'm paraphrasing, I know. But He said, "What are you doing? We're here because of what we've done. This man is innocent." And he looks at the Lord and he says, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." In paradise. He is delivered unto death. We all will face death. Every one of us will lay down these bodies. Every moment the second hand on the clock ticks by, we age. Our bodies age. We come one step closer to the grave. Physically, this body does. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, and you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, your soul has no death to look forward to. Your soul will simply lay this body down and move into the presence of the Lord. Now, if you don't get anything else from Christmas this year, understand that Jesus and His death and His burial and His resurrection and the eternal life that comes with knowing Him as Lord and Savior has that purpose. There is no eternal death. You may lay this body down, but your soul will go forever into the presence of the Lord. Until that day when a glorified body is reunited with your soul at the rapture of the church. There is no greater and can be no greater present and no greater gift at Christmas this year than to know that and to have that assurance in your life. Well, just as we see that He came having to bear the shame of the cross, we also see in this passage his claim. His claim to be government. Government reminds us that he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he is coming again for his people, and then in glory. Amen. In glory. He will reign upon the earth. And if you've been attending the Sunday night services, we've been going through Revelation. And we've just recently got into the part of Revelation in chapter 18, chapter 19, where the Lord returns with his church and with the host of heaven, and they are getting ready to establish his kingdom, his millennial kingdom here on earth. And folks, that reality of that day is coming. There's a lot that's got to happen between now and then. When I say a lot, there's 7 years worth of tribulation that has to take place. The rapture of the church has to take place. There are some very significant things that have to happen. God only knows the timeline and how close we are to those events. But folks, when we're looking at God's Word, there is no one that can argue the point that we're closer now than we have been any time in the history of humanity. His claim is to be that government, where the government of everything on the face of the earth will rest upon his shoulders. Government today exists only because it is ordained of God. You may like or dislike the people that are in play in the government, but they are there because God has ordained them for his purpose. They are there for his reasoning, for his purpose. It doesn't matter if it's the president, if it's the Congress. It doesn't matter if it is the county commissioners or the mayor. God has ordained them and put them into place for his purpose and for his reasoning and for his time. There are some things that go with this claim. When his time has come to die, when he had died and laid down his life, he was known as the Lamb of God. When he returns to establish his kingdom, he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will be the same Jesus, but he will have a different attitude. He will have a different personality. He will have a different purpose. He will be returning to reign the world, and he will reign with a rod of iron. God will have his say, and he will have it vividly, and he will have it boldly across the face of the earth. He has a claim today on your heart as well and on your soul. Either Jesus Christ is absolute King and sovereign Savior over your life, or he is not. There is no in between. You cannot be halfway saved. You just can't be halfway saved. You can't be close and still get into heaven. You can't be close and be born again. You're either born again or you're not. He has that claim on your soul and on your heart today. If you are not saved today, you have an opportunity to be that, to be in that shape, to get that done, to do that work with God before you leave. If you are saved today, he has that claim upon your heart. And let me ask this, if you are saved and you realize he has that claim on your heart, does your life reflect it? Does your life reflect it? Not in comparison to other people, not in comparison to measuring up to someone else's ideas or someone else's standards. In God's Word, from God's perspective, by God's standards, does your life live up to the claim that Jesus Christ has on your heart today? If you're not sure, if that isn't a priority in your life, if it's just something maybe you haven't put any thought or any care into, today's an opportunity for you to change that. It is an opportunity for you to meet that claim. Well, not only is there a claim, but there is his name. Not names. Not plural. But name. Notice, and his name. All of the titles that were listed here in verse 6, they all apply. They all apply as one. He is wonderful. He is supernatural. He is secret only to those who don't know him. Those who know him as a wonderful person, as a wonderful counselor. As a matter of fact, when you go into the Greek, wonderful counselor is one, I'm sorry, into the Hebrew. It's one Hebrew word. And it speaks of a leader. It speaks of a leader who joins himself with the lives of those that he leads. It speaks of a leader that is wonderfully qualified for the job, a leader who is loved, a leader who loves those that he leads and takes care of. That is Jesus. Then there is the mighty God. Hero. That's actually what that Hebrew word means. Hero. Is God your hero today? We see a lot going on in the news and on sports and everything else with people who have their heroes. Sports figures and celebrities and movie stars and the wealthiest and the poorest and those who stir up trouble and those who stir up controversy, they're all given the title of hero. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He should be the hero of the Christian's life. He should be strong. He is mighty. He is invincible. He has conquered the enemies of those who know him as Lord and Savior. What are those enemies? First, it's death. He has conquered death through his resurrection. He has conquered sin by bringing salvation to all men through the cleansing of his blood. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. He has conquered the grave. It is because of Jesus that we do not have to deal with the sting of death in an eternal perspective. Jesus has conquered eternity by giving eternal life. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that is qualified to be our hero today. If he's not your hero, he should be. He should be. Not only is he a mighty God, but he is everlasting. The everlasting Father. The great I Am. Go all the way back to Exodus. When he tells Moses, I am that I am. God. He is in the flesh. And the great I Am, he will always be. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. All of those phrases of I am are the same. The word doesn't change. The intent doesn't change. The message. He is everlasting. He never came into existence. He has always existed and he always will exist. Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. Jesus became incarnate in Bethlehem. He existed long before that birth of that little baby. He is lastly given the title and the name of the Prince of Peace. He gives peace. He gives us peace with God. Because of sin, we were separated from God. Because of sin, we no longer had fellowship with God. But Jesus gave that peace back. Jesus also gives peace with yourself. There is no struggling with the conviction of sin. There is no struggling with the conviction of the heartache and the tribulations and the troubles that others may bring. Jesus gives that peace. All we must do is hand ourselves over to him and let him have his will and his way. Jesus gives peace over the affliction of others in our lives. Others may hurt this body. Others may hurt our emotions. But Jesus brings peace into our hearts and into our souls, even in the midst of the turmoil that others may develop and others may bring. And ultimately, Jesus brings peace to the world for eternity. Yes, in the end, when it's all said and done, after the millennial reign of Christ, when Satan is loosed for a short while, he will tempt those that remain. And then there will be a separation. A separation of the sheep and the goats, a separation of the wheat and the tares, however you want to envision it. There will be a separation of those who know God and those who do not know God. And those who do not know Him will be cast away and into hell, and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And those that do know God will go with Him to the new heaven and the new earth. And it will be for eternity. It isn't a fairy tale. It isn't a soap opera. It isn't some science fiction novel. Bless God, it is the truth of where we're headed, because He is wonderful. That is why He is so wonderful this morning. He is a wonderful Lord. He is a wonderful Savior. He is a wonderful God. This morning, as I get ready to close, if we could, I'd like to have a hymn of closing this morning as we end our service. And I would like to say that we can sum up everything, and we can say that Jesus is wonderful. And that word still doesn't come close to describing who He is. But I will say this, it's more wonderful to know Him personally than it is to merely hear about Him. There are a lot of people today hearing about Jesus. There are a lot of people today thinking about Jesus. But how many today know Him personally? How many today know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior? How many today know Jesus to the point where He is exciting their heart, exciting their soul? He is stirring up their passions to serve Him and to be with Him. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior today? He may be your Savior, but do you know Him as Lord of your life? Have you made Him Lord of your life? Or are there things that may have crept in that may be between you and Jesus? They may be hindering you from walking with Him. They may be hindering you from being as close to the Lord as He wants you to be, as close to the Lord as He is calling you to be. Well, I want to invite you to come to Him this morning. Whether it is in salvation or whether it is in redemption. Whether it is rededication or revival. I want you to know and leave today understanding in your heart why He is called wonderful. I want you to find out the true spirit of Christmas today. I want you to experience the Christ of Christmas as only you can, by knowing Jesus personally. So this morning, as we sing, if God is dealing with your heart, will you come? Ladies.